Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Tulsa Symphony Orchestra opens its season this weekend with a concert that is very different from any season opener ever before. First, it's the first live concert music event in the city since the start of the pandemic. Second, it won't be at the orchestra's normal performance locations, but instead outside at One Oak Field, as a socially distanced orchestra with a socially distanced audience. Principal guest conductor Daniel Heggie will lead the orchestra in an all Beethoven program, including the Symphony No. 7 and the Piano Concerto No. 3, which will feature my guest today, one of the top classical pianists in the world today, Yefim Bronfman. Bronfman is among a small group of pianists universally admired for his work with orchestras, in chamber music, and solo recitals. He's been nominated for 6 Grammy Awards, and winning in 1997 for his recordings of the Bartok Piano Concerti, and has recorded most of the major repertoire for piano, including the Beethoven Concertos and Triple Concerto with David Zinman and the Zurich Tonhall Orchestra. He's appeared with the major orchestras of the world and now performs in Tulsa for the first time, Saturday evening at 8 o'clock at One Oak Field with the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra in a celebration of Beethoven. He's my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Yefim Bronfman, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, as I understand it, this will be your first public performance since the start of the pandemic. I know you've done some virtual performances, but this will be the first public performance since the start of the pandemic. I think if you would have looked at this performance, first of all, you weren't scheduled to be the soloist on this particular program, but if you would have looked at the performance and it says Yefim Bronfman playing the Piano Concerto No. 3 by Beethoven on a schedule a year ago, people would say, oh, it's a Beethoven program. It's something much larger now at work in this concert. What are your feelings about returning to public performance?
Well, I'm excited and a little scared because, you know, I haven't played with orchestra in about 6 months. My last orchestral performance happened beginning of March, so we've been kind of on a prolonged sabbatical that was not planned to be. And to be honest with you, I'm very excited, you know, and I'm excited to be playing in Tulsa because this is my debut in Tulsa, not only in the town, but also this is my debut in baseball stadium, so I'm very excited about it.
Now, I have to ask you, when they approach you, and I know you play the Grand Teton Music Festival, and I know a lot of our musicians from Tulsa are also in that, have been in that orchestra over the years, and and when they first approached you, what was your reaction to, okay, we're going to do a concert, but we're going to do it outdoors at a baseball stadium?
You know, I'm used to playing outdoors, you know, in summertime, also never in a sports arena. It's always like, you know, when you play in Tanglewood or in Ravinia or Blossom, or Hollywood Bowl, all these places, outdoor places, this is part of our schedules for many years already. So I know what it's like to be playing outdoors. You know, I've done some outdoor concerts in Europe as well, and it can be challenging simply because you don't know what the weather is like. It can also be challenging because you don't know what humidity is going to be like. And there's nothing worse than having a keyboard covered with sweat and you kind of swim in it and have to, you know, hold your own. I think for string players, it's also challenging because they have to keep the intonation more or less.
No, it's a challenge for the entire orchestra because every instrument reacts differently.
Yes. You know, it's, you know, here in the mountains when you play outdoors, you know, I think always the brass and the wind instrument complained to me that it's hard to breathe because there is less oxygen. And also for us, it's, you know, I feel when I come here to where I am right now in Colorado, because of the altitude, I feel a little lightheaded the first few days. And you have to play, you feel lightheaded playing, and it's very dry, you know. So playing outdoors can be challenging, but it's also very pleasant, I think, because I feel that music sometimes belongs to outdoors, you know, because there's so much nature reflected in the music that we play. You know, when you play Brahms, you can almost see the mountains. And Beethoven also, it's music that it's written for outdoors. A lot of it is. So So I think it makes a lot of sense to do it outdoors. I think it's nice to hear it also. And even if you hear the crickets somewhere in the background, it's kind of a nice interruption, you know. They're bad interruption and they're good interruption. So I think it's to be outdoors and hearing. I remember I played in Vail, Colorado once, and you hear the highway noise while playing the most tender passages. You hear I-70 is not too far, and when the truck goes by, you can hear it. But, you know, I think people expect it. People expect it, and they like to be there.
Well, actually,
they like to look at the grass while they listen to music.
That's right. Actually, I-244 is very close to the ballpark. But that said, I think there's so many people who want to experience live music and experience it however you can make it at this particular point. I would think that'd be the case for you.
I certainly hope so. At least I am very hungry for live music. You know, I haven't had it, but I've been practicing and practicing more than ever because there's simply no travel. You know, I haven't gotten on the airplane for about almost 6 months now. So I have more time to practice, and I think it's nice that I do it, but it's also nice to experience sharing what I practice with the audience.
So I did want to ask you, since you mentioned it as a sort of a sabbatical of 6 months since your last concert, which was in early March, has it just been spent in the practice room for the most part?
Yes, basically. I did play one concert, chamber music concert in Vail just last month with a chamber music event. And we played in a big outdoor facility, the Fordham Theater, which holds, I think, about 3,000 people, not counting people who can sit outside. Mm. We played it for 175 people. It was spread throughout the amphitheaters, you know. So it was allowed by the governor, supposed to do this event. And it was very nice, you know, to play for the live audience. And, you know, I tried to have this experience as much as possible.
Well, this was to have been a very busy year playing Beethoven concertos. As I was looking at your schedule, you know, you've been playing Beethoven concerti your entire life. You recorded them about 15 years ago or so.
Yes.
I'm sure practicing has been a big part of it, just sort of finding new insights. Have you found new insights in these concertos as you are sort of given to a year of playing them as you do in an anniversary year like this?
Of course. I mean, they're always more into this music than one can imagine. I think that's the beauty of this profession, that we are playing some of the greatest music ever written, and in particular, the Beethoven concertos. They are the best repertoire possible for our instrument, and also for the orchestra. And the insights are always coming. There's always work in progress. It's never a final result. There's no such thing in such great music. You always discover something new. And if I didn't discover something new, I would be really upset and bored, and I would probably want to quit. Hmm. But the beauty of this is that you always find something new, and you want to try to practice it and get it through to the audience. And, you know, a very famous pianist of early 20th century, Arthur Schnabel, say when, you know, what you say about music like Beethoven, sonatas or concertos, he said, no matter how good the performance of this music you give, it's never as good as the music itself. So I think that there is some truth to that, if you think that, because there's so many different dimensions in this music and so much depth and so many nuances that it cannot possibly transmit it in one single performance. You need many performances. You need to experiment with this music. You need to live this music to bring it out to the audience.
Well, as I mentioned, you were going to be playing Beethoven concerti all summer. That hasn't been the case. Is that something you've been practicing during this sabbatical, or have you been using it as a time to explore new music?
I have learned a bunch of Beethoven sonatas that I've now played, three major sonatas I've been working on this summer, as well as the concertos. Also, I've played some Beethoven sonatas that I was supposed to do in my recital, in my recitals throughout the springtime, ending and culminating in Carnegie Hall, you know, and it just never happens. But I've just still been playing them, and I even played one sonata in Grand Teton, you know, internet transmission. So, you know, I think that one day doesn't go by without some Beethoven in it, you know, in my life. Beethoven is the most powerful force and influence on every pianist's life, I think.
Well, there's a Beethoven for every sort of mood or feeling you're in, isn't there?
Yes. He was like a mountain that you cannot bypass. He influenced every composer who lived after, you know, and he changed the way the music flows, you know, he changed the direction of the music. He created a new era in music, and we still live in that era.
My guest today is Yefim Bronfman, a pianist and soloist, who will be with the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra Saturday evening at 8 o'clock, outdoors at One Oak Field, as live concert music returns to Tulsa. He'll be the soloist in the Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 3 in an all-Beethoven program, which will also feature the Symphony No. 7 and the Coriolan Overture. Of course, the big anniversary year of Beethoven. He'll be doing the Piano Concerto No. 3, and I think there's like three separate moods of Beethoven within this Piano Concerto No. 3. The first movement, you know, it has that such a strong classical form. The beautiful, tender adagio movement in E, that is just like, what does this have to do with the key of C minor, which is what the concerto is in? And then the rondo, which has that beautifully rollicking sense of it. How do you approach this particular concerto? What are your takeaways from this piece?
Well, you know, it comes from a lot of experience of playing, you know, music of the same composer and then knowing not only the piano music, but also the other music that you wrote, this particular string quartets, and his signature work was symphony and string quartets and piano music. And I think that you need to explore all of it to get under the skin of the composer. You know, just you spend your whole life doing that. You leave the music and you try to cross all kind of boundaries to achieve something that is very, very special and very unachievable in many ways, because it's really very great musical. But, you know, it's like Shakespeare of you know, that level of genius is very hard to interpret, you know, so that's what we do, you know.
And you recorded all the concerti back in about 15 years ago with the Tonhall Orchestra and David Zinman. How did you approach that experience of, you know, I would think within, you know, a few months of recording all five concerti?
Well, it was a different era in my life. I did play those concertos many different places, and each experience of performing it gave me some new ideas, and the challenges were enormous, you know, because there's so many great recordings of this repertoire. This is the core repertoire of the piano literature, and there are some magnificent recordings, including the great set of one of my teachers, Leon Fleischer, who recently passed away at the age of 92. He made a fantastic recordings of this pieces with Cleveland Orchestra and George Sell. But, you know, I'm not in competition with other recordings. I just wanted to be able to say something that is maybe has not been said before. And I think David Zinman was a perfect collaborator, because I always loved the way he conducts, approaches Beethoven. And the orchestra is magnificent, the Tonhalle Orchestra in Zurich. And they have one of the greatest halls in the world. And the sound of this hall is just magnificent. And I was, you know, it gave me a lot of inspiration to record in that hall. So, you know, it was a great experience. We played the concertos in concerts, and then we recorded them the next morning, you know. It was a very, very happy time doing it, you know.
When we hear one of those recordings, this is Why don't we hear the beautiful Adagio movement? It gives us a chance to hear you as we hear music played by Yefim Bronfman, who will be performing it Saturday evening with the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra. Here is the second movement from the Piano Concerto No. 3. That's music, which will be performed by my guest today, Yefim Bronfman, a pianist. He'll be performing with the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra Saturday evening at 8 o'clock, outdoors at One Oak Field, as live concert music returns to Tulsa. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. I imagine you're looking forward to it. It's just nice to have to play for an audience, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I'm so excited to play for the audience. I'm nervous. You know, I have done it for 6 months, but I am very excited, and I look forward to it very, very much.
It's hard to believe that an artist of your caliber, I mean, there has to be a little nerves every time you go out, because that's sort of, you know, that's part of live performance. But I would imagine 6 months is probably the longest you've never played for the public since probably you were a child, and maybe a pretty early child at that.
Absolutely, this is the longest. And you know, sabbatical is not necessarily a bad thing, but what's bad about this one, it was an unplanned one. There's nothing worse than unplanned sabbatical. You know, it's one always dreading that, what if I won't be able to play? And that's exactly what's happened now. I think that I planned my sabbaticals in the past, you know, 2-3 years in advance. I said, I'm going to have, you know, 3 months off there, you know, so it was planned, and sometimes it happened, but now it just came to an abrupt stop. And the thing that was the worst is that we didn't really know whether we'll be able to play next month. We thought in March, I thought, well, maybe by May I will be able to start again, and then in May I thought, oh, maybe by July I'll be able to start. But none of it happened, and now I think next season is very sketchy, and most of the things have been cancelled already till January, so I'm a little bit afraid what will happen past January. Mm. You know, it depends on so many things, and the unknown element of it is that's what's scary, that you just don't know what's going to happen.
Now, you've played some virtual performances. I know you did a virtual performance of the Schumann Piano Quintet very recently.
Yeah.
Was that with all of you in one place? Performing?
Oh, yes. We were Schumann. It was actually done last week, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was broadcast just recently. It was done, we had a distancing between the players, and there are 5 players. We sat quite apart from each other, and we all wearing masks while performing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a challenge because you don't hear as well, you know, if you sit far away from each other. But we had enough rehearsals to get used to it, and it seemed to have worked very well.
Yeah, I would think that having that physical distancing between one another, whether it's chamber music like a quintet or with an orchestra, which will be physically distanced there, we don't really know what this is going to. I still don't have a sense of what it's going to look like. But with the distancing, you know, that's going to be a different. It's going to be a different animal playing a concerto like this.
Oh, yes. Well, I know people who have already done that. You know, there are more performances happening in Europe like this, but the orchestra is very spread apart. And the soloist, particular soloist, complained that he didn't really hear very well the orchestra, and it was challenging. Yeah. But, you know, that's why we have rehearsals, and that's why the rehearsals hopefully will accomplish the deficiencies of the situation, you know. Just I'm hoping for that.
My guest today is Yefim Bronfman. He's pianist and soloist with the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra. He'll be the soloist in the Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 3 in their celebration of Beethoven, which opens their season Saturday evening at 8 o'clock, outdoors at One Oak Field. Before we talk more, why don't we hear a little more of your recording of the Piano Concerto No. 3? Let's hear the finale of this from about 15 years ago with the Zurich Tonhall Orchestra and David Zinman. That's music by my guest today, Yefim Bronfman, who will be playing that same piece with the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra Saturday evening at 8 o'clock outdoors at One Oak Field. I know you're looking forward to performing live in front of an audience, and I know you have a couple other performances scheduled. Are you still scheduled to play in Dallas?
Yes, I am. Actually, after the concert in Tulsa, I will be driving to Dallas and we'll be playing indoors there. I was supposed to open the season there with Brahms Concerto No. 1, but it requires a big orchestra that they could have. So now it's been switched to Beethoven Concerto No. 2, which has a smaller orchestration, mm-hmm. and there'll be less people on stage. And I think that there will be three performances, and each performance will be attended, if I'm not mistaken, by only 100 people. So, and it will be also maybe transmitted on the internet, at least. Yeah. That's the plan. So it will be the following weekend, yeah, three performances.
I'm sure in addition to concerto performances that you'd been planning to do, you were probably planning on doing sonata performances. Is there still any of those in the works at this point?
Yes, I'm scheduled to do a transmission of a recital program for a couple of places. In the near future, and I'm also scheduled to perform with Cleveland Orchestra in October, and also for transmission on internet, and maybe some people in the audience, and also with Philadelphia Orchestra in November, transmission as well, and also I have a performance planned with Emerson String Quartet doing Brahms Piano Quintet. That's going to be done at the Y in New York. 92nd Street Y.
I know you've been doing some virtual performances. You have more virtual performances scheduled. Is that as satisfying to you to play virtually as opposed to in front of an audience?
It's not as satisfying as playing for a live audience, but without it, there will be silence, and silence is not what musicians want and not what the people want. I think that this is, under circumstances, this is second best thing that we can offer at the moment. Yeah. Thank God we have the internet. Thank God we have things that, you know, it's accessible to hear music coming from different countries.
Right. What do you take away from an audience as a performer? When you know, you're in the moment, I would think you're just one with the piano or one with the piano and the orchestra and the conductor. But is there something tangible you can say you take away from an audience when you're performing live?
Well, you know, playing for microphones is one thing, but playing for a large group of people, you know, sometimes we perform in normal times for 3,000 people, you know, 1,000 people. So it's a completely different feeling, and the music sounds completely different. And I think that's what it's meant to be, you know. But with the microphones, we can only imagine the public and they don't feel it. And I think it's what's so nice about having the public is you can draw them into the music that you play and you can feel it. The emotions, you're there. Either they don't get into it, and that's, I always blame myself if that happens, but if they are drawn into the music that you play, I'm extremely satisfied, and I think that I have a feeling that I've accomplished my purpose, you know, trying to convince the public that this music is worth listening to.
Well, as you mentioned at the top of our conversation, you said you'll be making your baseball stadium debut, and really, yes. You know, that's, you know, it's a nice joke, but I think really what's at the heart is, you know, musicians playing for an audience. So many musicians have missed that feeling. It's you know, there's the mastery of the instrument, there's the mastery and understanding and comprehension of the music you're performing, but there's also that element of wanting to make others, you know, share this gift that you have with others, and I think that's what all musicians have been missing.
Well, share the music that I'm, you know, playing with others is, that's really purpose and goal of our musicians' lives, you know. That's what we do, and that's what we like to continue to do, and I hope that that comes back sooner than later, you know, the sense of live performances. I think the music has enormous power, and it's become part of people's lives, you know. You know, without it, you know, it's, can you imagine living in a jungle without, you know, this, you know, become a little bit like that, unfortunately, because we don't get the culture, we don't get the music, we don't get the sports events, we don't get anything anymore because of this pandemic. And I think it's extremely important to go back to it at some point, because it cures human souls through especially the great music and all kinds of music, you know, and the theater and the opera and jazz and rock concerts, everything. This is part of our lives. It's become part of our existence, you know, and not to have it is very, very hard for people, I think.
Well, it's hard for listeners and musicians alike.
Correct.
Let's hope we get back to that day very soon. And for that reason, I think this concert is important. It's important for people to gather, to hear music, and have that shared experience. And we're looking forward to hearing you Saturday evening playing Beethoven. Yefim Bronfman, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Pianist Yefim Bronfman speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He'll be soloist with the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra in Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 3 in an all-Beethoven program Saturday evening at 8 o'clock, outdoors at One Oak Field. Principal guest conductor Daniel Heggie will also lead the orchestra in the Coriolan Overture and the Symphony No. 7 by Beethoven. Information at tulsasymphony.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.